DARPA came to RAND since we are a nonprofit institution that looks at policy analysis, knowing that that we might have something to say about this particular subject. And their initial question to us was, are there lessons to be learned from outside of the space industry? So we went out and built a framework that's detailed in the monograph, and then applied that framework to other earthly environmental problems like radon gas, oil spills, et cetera, and tried to draw lessons learned from those things to apply to space debris.
You're actually tackling the problem of space junk. How much of a problem is this, really?
So it depends on where you are in space, but in low Earth orbit, it's quite a problem. It's a very low Earth orbits, the orbits that are closest to the Earth, are getting extremely cluttered, and they're on the order of tens of thousands of tracked objects, debris objects in those orbits, and it's estimated to be hundreds of thousands of objects that are too small for us to track.
And what else is in orbit with these objects that are endangered by them?
So common satellites that we use every day, like telecommunication satellites and other satellites that we may use for defense purposes, like imaging satellites, or commercial purposes, like imaging satellites that we may get our Google Earth images from.
And where does this space stuff come from?
So it comes from a variety of different places. In some instances, it comes from just normal operating procedures in the past, using explosive bolts to rid a satellite of lens caps and whatnot. Now, most of those things have stopped as people have become more aware of the dangers of debris. Companies have taken preventative measures to not do this purposeful debris creation. But then other debris is created just from collisions in space, and also inadvertent explosions of spent rocket bodies, etc. So from a variety of places.
Well, before we get to some possible strategies for mitigating it, what is the danger to a large satellite of a piece of debris that is a centimeter across?
So it varies. If it hits you on, say, a solar array, then the danger is very little. I mean, it may not affect operations at all. Yet if it hits, take the International Space Station, for instance, if a piece of debris were to take a direct hit on one of the window panes, then you could lose lives. So, I mean, it can vary from it's negligible to very, very serious.
So let's talk then about some of the solutions. You're saying that a Superfund approach could actually help out. What do you mean by that?
So the Superfund was one of many, many things that we pointed to that exist right now to take care of Earth environmental problems like hazardous waste. The strength of the Superfund is that it really gets to who has financial responsibility for cleanup, which is one of the things that the international community is struggling with right now. In 2009, there was a collision of a defunct Russian satellite and an Iridium communication satellite. And the question afterwards was, well, if those pieces of debris cause other collisions or other damage, who is to blame? Who is responsible financially and legally?
Assuming this can be afforded in some manner, how do you get that junk so that it's no longer dangerous?
Well, so this is a good question. There's a variety of things that you can do. You can protect your satellites that you're building now. You can protect them against space trash by putting barriers around them, which happens to be a very expensive technical solution. You can work with getting better situational awareness, so better sensors and radars and whatnot to look up into the sky so that we know where these pieces of debris are so that we can navigate around them. And then the last thing is to invest, and this is a question of who should be paying for this, but to invest in technologies to go up and actively remove dangerous pieces of debris.
So you could have a two-pronged approach then, not only teach the satellites where not to go and how to avoid these landmines, but you could go up there and get the junk and bring it back to Earth.
This is correct. correct. This is correct. And this would all be based upon the risk tolerance of the community. And one of the strengths, I think, of our document is we really look at space debris and this question of what you do about space debris from an international perspective. And it's one of those things. It'd be tough to find someone in the international community that says that space debris isn't a problem that we should be looking at. So it should be something that we should be able to set a nice example for how the international community can get together behind a problem and work toward a solution.
And we're speaking with Bill Welser, a senior analyst at the RAND Corporation. Now, you've proposed something along the lines of a superfund that we're familiar with EPA. How would that work in your view?
So we actually we mentioned that the Superfund is a good example, but it's one of many things that we offer as kind of lessons learned from environmental problems that have already been tackled here on Earth when we're trying to compare to what we should do with space debris. The Superfund, we don't go into extreme detail in terms of how it work, because that, as you know, is a U.S. based solution, whereas this problem with space debris is international. So any type of program like that would have to be vetted through, you know, the proper people at the UN, et cetera.
Since this would be more of an international approach, would there be any one federal agency that would take point as representation of the U.S.?
Well, so this, again, a very good question. Right now, I can't say who should be responsible. That was kind of outside of the purview, if you will, of our research. But right now, there's a variety of U.S. organizations and departments involved. There's obviously the Department of Defense is involved, the Department of State and the Department of Commerce are involved. I guess those organizations would have to decide who would take the point, and that would be for them to work through.
Now, is most of this material aluminum? Because I was wondering if, like a vacuum cleaner in a hotel where they have a magnet around the edge picking up all the paper clips and things,
right,
a giant magnetic type of projectile be sent up and just they'd all stick to it and that'd be then just crash that.
It sounds kind of Bugs Bunny, but it might work.
Right. So people often when they're presenting the idea of active removal, they paint this picture of the vacuum cleaner up in space. The one added difficulty of the debris is that each of these pieces is moving at kilometers per second, so very, very, very fast. So it is how do you absorb that impact, absorb that speed, while also collecting that piece. And ultimate goal is to have those pieces re-enter the Earth safely, so that they're gotten rid of.
So they burn up, in other words.
Yes.
And in fact, it is mostly non-ferrous, isn't it? So that I was sort of half kidding about the magnet, but there's no practical way than to try to get them lower to burn up.
So there's a variety of technical solutions.
As you mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, and this is part of what the DARPA, our study was a small part of the DARPA Catcher's Mitt study, and the large Catcher's Mitt study that DARPA did, the main goal there was to assess the technical community's ability to go up and do active remediation. So people, they went out and put, they released a BAA, a broad area announcement, to the community and said, you know, what are the capabilities out there, what are the possible capabilities, and people came back with anything from these people being defense contractors came back with anything from, you know, pointing lasers at these pieces to induce drag to putting, you know, big vacuum cleaners up in space.